Let us pray again. Almighty God, we humbly come before you this morning, and we ask that as we are gathered here together to worship you, that as we are gathered here together to hear your word preached now, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us. We pray that through your word you would show us your glory, and that we would stand in awe of you, and that we would forget who we even are without you. And God, I pray specifically this morning for those who are weary and burdened and exhausted. I pray that they would find rest for their souls in you as we see you give us this great gift of the Sabbath. Speak to us now, we pray, in Christ's name, amen. Well, we are here this morning to worship God, and there's nothing more important than gathering with God's people to worship him, and it is a joy that we get to do it together. With that, our words for kids this morning, I have two of them. Rule and rest. Rule and rest. So we are continuing our way through Genesis chapters 1 through 3, and we've made it to chapter 2, which is always exciting. In my Bible, I got to turn a page, so that's exciting. But we're on Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, so please take your copy of God's Word and turn there with me. I've been arguing over the last number of weeks that we need to have a biblical worldview, that we need to see the world through the lens of Scripture, and this is why we are studying Genesis 1 through 3, because it gives us the foundation for the biblical worldview. And that foundation is our theme that you're going to keep hearing me say over and over and over again, that God created all things, mankind sinned against God, God promises redemption, and God will make all things new. And Genesis 1 through 2 is really focusing on God making all things. So we're spending a lot of time there just because the text does. Last week we finished looking at Genesis 1, where we saw God make all things out of nothing in 6 days. And this morning in our text, we're going to see what God says about and what God does on day 7. So with that in mind, please stand as you are able for the reading of God's Word. Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is God's holy word. When Scripture speaks, God speaks. You may be seated. During World War II, there were times when soldiers on the front lines had to stay awake for days on end. Now, in my mind, I'm specifically thinking of the Battle of the Bulge, but this can apply to a number of different battles in World War II. So just imagine the scenario. It's freezing cold, and so you're freezing. You have to stay awake, but not just awake, you have to stay alert for days on end, and you're constantly being bombarded over and over and over again, and you have no idea when it will stop, and you have no idea when you will get a break. How exhausted do you think that you would be? Now, I know we're not fighting in World War II, but does it ever feel like sometimes you're living life in the trenches? Do you ever feel exhausted? And I don't just mean physical exhaustion, although that's part of it. I mean mentally and emotionally and spiritually exhausted by the overwhelming demands and hardships of life. I mean, just think about it. There's all of the busyness, There's work and relational stress and not sleeping at night and sickness and pain and suffering. And even deeper than that, there's being motivated by guilt. There's your own sin. There's the sin of others. And there's Satan, who's prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And sometimes it feels like you are living in the trenches. Do you ever feel physically, emotionally, spiritually exhausted? Are you tired? At some point, we will all feel this way. And this is why our passage this morning gives us such good news. Our passage this morning teaches us that because God rules, we can rest. Because God rules, we can rest. And so, simply put, where we're headed, I just have 2 points. First point is God rules, verses 1 through 2. And the second point is we can rest, verses 3. So that's where we're headed this morning. So first point, God rules, verses 1 and 2. So look at verses 1 and 2 again in your Bibles. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So at this point in the creation account, God had finished creating the heavens and the earth and all of the host of them. In other words, everything was created in 6 days. And this is where a helpful reminder comes in that before there was anything, there was God. God eternally existed before creation. He is pre-existent. And he perfectly and beautifully and powerfully and effortlessly orchestrated the creation of all things. By his all-powerful, sovereign, and good word, he spoke all things into existence. He spoke, and by his word, he mass-produced the stars and the birds and the sea creatures and the land animals and all of the insects. And then as we saw last week, when we get to humanity, God pauses and he makes his most cherished creatures, us. And he makes us in the image of God. And after making us, he rejoices in poetry, and then he provides everything that we need, especially food. But food that's not just functional, food that can deeply satisfy us. And now we get to where we are now, and all of God's work in creation is finished. God created all things in 6 days. Now this leads us to verse 2, and there's a little bit of a translation challenge here at the beginning of verse 2. In my Bible, which is ESV, my Bible reads, "And on the seventh day God finished his work." The "on," I believe, is better translated as "by," which a number of translations pick up on. I didn't write it down, but I believe NIV says "by the seventh day." But I believe it's better translated, "and by the seventh day God finished his work." Now, all of that to say, God created the heavens and the earth and all the host of them in 6 days. God finished all of creation in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. Now, note that the text says a number of times that this is the work that God had done. God is the one who created all things. There's no part of creation that had a say in what was created or how things were created. God powerfully created all things out of nothing according to his sovereign will. And the point I want to make here is that this is God's work. He made it, and therefore all things are his. Psalm 89:11 says that the heavens are his. The earth is also his, the world and all that is in it, for he has founded them. We read it earlier, but Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." In our passage this morning in the back of the bulletin, "His is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and the earth is his. His is the kingdom, for he is exalted as head above all." As Abraham Kuyper famously said, and James brought out a couple weeks ago, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is Lord over all, does not exclaim, "Mine." This is God's work. He made it, and therefore all things are His. Now let's look again at verse 2. So, and by the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God finished His work in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. Now the Hebrew word here for rested is the word Shabbat, and it's where we get the English word Sabbath. And the word just simply means to stop working. So resting is a great translation. It just means to stop working. God stopped working, or God rested, or God took a Sabbath on the seventh day. And this leads to an important question. Why did God rest? Why did God rest? Now, there are two main reasons why we as humans rest. One is we rest because we're tired. So imagine you have to shovel a bunch of snow by hand, and if you're anything like me, I have to stop and I have to take a rest, like 30 seconds at a time because I get tired. I rest because I'm tired. But another reason we rest is because we are finished. So imagine making a birdhouse. And when you're done with the birdhouse, you got your completed project there, and so you rest, not because you're tired, but because you have completed, you have finished your project. Now the text here clearly says that God is resting because He has finished. God is not resting because He was tired. Remember that creation was effortless for Him. He simply spoke all things into existence. So God is not resting because He was tired. God is resting because He is finished with creation. Now, why do I bring that out? I bring that out because the theological idea behind finishing and resting is to rule. To finish and to rest is actually dominion and kingship language. For example, in 2 Samuel 7, it says that David sat on his throne and he ordered a rest be given. In other words, when you are the unchallenged king, you rest so that you can rule. For God to finish His work and rest means that God is ruling. Or another example, and the greatest example of this, is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When Jesus finished His work of salvation, what did He do? And specifically, I'm thinking about, so Jesus finished His work of salvation and He ascended into heaven, and then what did He do? He sat down. Jesus finished His work and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was not tired. He didn't sit down because He was tired. He sat down because He was finished, and so that He could rule. Hebrews 1:3 says that after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And for Him to sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on high is for Him to sit down as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All of that to say, for God to finish and rest here in our text means that God is ruling as the King of the universe. God sovereignly rules the universe. God works all things according to the counsel of His will. The Lord has made everything for its purpose. God rules over nature, as we see in Jonah when he tried to run away from the Lord. The Lord sent a huge storm on the boat. Or we see Jesus rebuke the wind and the sea, and it is completely silent. We see God rule over animals and plants. Again, in Jonah, God appointed a plant to be with Jonah and to give him shade. Or we see in the Gospels that not even one sparrow can fall to the ground apart from God. God rules over random events. Proverbs 16:33 says that the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. God rules over the nations. Psalm 22, verse 28 says that for kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. God rules over large-scale disasters. Amos 3:6 says that, does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? God rules even over Satan, as Satan couldn't touch Job without the Lord's permission. Or we see the same thing in the Gospels with Peter. And I could keep going on and on and on and on, because God's rule goes on and on and on and on. This is God's world, and he sovereignly rules over all things. Now, what this means for you is that there is nothing that happens to you that happens by chance. There is nothing that you go through that doesn't have a purpose. There is nothing that happens to you that catches God by surprise. If you trust in Christ, God is working all things together for your good. God rules so that you don't have to, and you can rest because he's in control. He's got it, and we can trust him. To paraphrase Charles Spurgeon, the sovereign rule of God is the pillow the child of God can lay their head on at night, giving them perfect peace. The sovereign rule of God is the pillow that we can lay our head on at night. Beloved, are you weary? Are you burdened? Trust in the sovereign rule of Christ, and you will find rest for your soul. And to paraphrase Augustine, your heart will be restless until you find it finds its rest in God. Because God rules, we can rest. Because God rules, we can rest. And that leads to our second point this morning. We can rest. And this is coming from verse 3, so look at verse 3 with me. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So this is the third time in our passage that this day is referred to as the seventh day, and the rest of the days throughout creation are only mentioned once. The number 3 in the Bible represents divine perfection or wholeness, and as we looked at last week, number 7 in the Bible represents completeness. And so you got these two things going on here together. And the point is that the Sabbath day, the seventh day, is the goal of creation. Or to say it in another way, Sabbath rest under our Sabbath King is the goal of creation. And this points forward to eternal rest with our eternal King as the goal of salvation. So our resting under the rulership of Christ is both the goal of creation and the goal of salvation. And I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to that rest. I can't wait. Now, because God rested from all his work on the seventh day, he blessed it and made it holy. Now, again, remember that the word for rest here is the word where we get the idea in the word Sabbath. So God blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. Now, for God to make the Sabbath day holy, it means for him to set that day apart from the rest of the days, and it's set apart so that it can be fully devoted to God. It is a special day that is to be wholly devoted to God. A holiday is an example of this type of special day, and I know I've used this illustration before, but I think it's really helpful. A holiday like Christmas is a day that is set apart from all of the rest of the days, and it's set apart to celebrate whatever holiday it is. It's not an average day, it's a set-apart day. It's a holy day or a holiday. And this particular holy day in our text, the Sabbath, is the most important holiday, and we should long for it more than Christmas. It's a special day that is to be wholly devoted and set apart for God. This day is to be different from all of the other days. God made this day, the Sabbath day, holy. Now, what's interesting is that mankind's first full day on earth was the Sabbath day. So Adam and Eve, their first full day on earth is a day of rest where they can completely enjoy and worship God. And this is the main thing that we were created for. And I can't imagine how amazing or how amazingly restful that day would be before the fall. Can you just picture that? It would be amazing. But we don't live before the fall, we live after the fall. So what does this mean for us after the fall? Now, in the Old Testament, as one of the Ten Commandments, God told the people to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. They were to work 6 days, and the seventh day was to be a Sabbath day of rest that was set apart for whole devotion to God. And this command in the Ten Commandments is actually rooted all the way back into creation and what God is doing here in our passage. Okay, and then fast forward to after Christ. Now after Christ, we celebrate the Sabbath day on Sunday because Jesus was raised from the dead on Sunday. And it's not necessarily called the Sabbath day, although I think it's okay to use that language, but it's now the Lord's day. And here's where I'm getting that. Jesus did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but he came to fulfill them. Jesus did not come to abolish the Sabbath day, he fulfilled it, and so now in him we set apart the Lord's day. Jesus did not come to abolish Sabbath rest, he fulfilled it, so now we find rest for our souls in Christ. In the Old Testament, Sabbath day was just a shadow of the things to come. We looked at this in Colossians. But Jesus Christ is the substance, and therefore we now rest in the substance of Jesus Christ, and therefore the Sabbath day has now become the Lord's day. And this is assumed even as early as the end of the New Testament, where in Revelation 1:10, the Apostle John says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and it's just assumed that you know what he is talking about. And throughout church history, the vast majority of Christians have set apart Sunday as the Lord's Day. This is our day that is to be set apart for God. Now, all of that to say, the day that we are to set apart to be fully devoted to God is the Lord's Day. It's Sunday, and this is why we gather here on Sunday. This is why we do this on Sunday every single week. And we are called to set apart this whole day to God. This whole day is to be set apart to God. And in truth, God calls us to devote our entire lives to Him. Every moment of every day is to be fully devoted to God. And the rhythm of our devotion to God is we work for Him for 6 days, and then we rest for Him on the seventh day. Now, just as an aside, when I say we are to work for Him, I don't mean that we are all supposed to be ministers. I mean that whatever your work is, whatever your vocation is, you are to do it for the glory of God. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. And so whatever it is, you do that to the glory of God. You're working for God for 6 days, and then you have this special set-apart day that where you are called to rest for God. God has called us to devote this whole day to Him. And just like the rest of God's commands, this command is a blessing. This is deeply beneficial for our souls when we take this seriously. This is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. God has given us a special day so that we can be reminded every week that God rules so that we can rest. Do you ever feel physically or emotionally or spiritually exhausted? Wouldn't it be nice if you had a weekly reprieve from the world to purposely pause on life and just to rest in Christ? This is what God has given us. And this is the greatest day of the week. It's a day that we should delight in and cherish because it's God's special day. So with that in mind, what does this look like practically? Now, what I don't want to do is get into a list of, like, here are the things you should do and shouldn't do, and then we miss God, and then we actually end up becoming Pharisees. So here's just a couple principles to think about as you seek to apply this in your life. And this is based off of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, number 60. And the catechism is not scripture, but it can give us helpful guidelines. So we are to spend the whole day in public and private worship to God. This whole day is to be set apart to God, and the goal is worship. And the thing is, when we are worshiping God, our souls will find rest. That's true rest. And so when you have this whole day set apart, this is actually the reason a number of churches have an evening service on Sundays, and they would set apart the whole day. And I don't know the history behind our church. I know we used to have an evening service, and I'm just assuming the idea is that we would set apart this whole day together to be fully devoted to God. Other ways of worshiping on this day are fellowship, even like napping to the glory of God. To nap, you have to trust that God is ruling and you can rest in Him. Reading, etc. I don't want to get into a list. But what's really helpful about this catechism is it gives an exception. It says, except works of necessity and mercy. So a work of necessity, well, actually, let's go mercy first. So a work of mercy is, it is good on this day to serve other people, whether that's at the Living Center or caring for the poor or visiting the shut-ins or doing something other-centered where you're caring for someone. But a work of necessity is things that you need to do. So there are still things that you need to do on this day. So, if you have your chores on the farm, like, do those. You need to do them. You need to feed your cattle. So, like, do that. That's a work of necessity. I'm not saying you shouldn't do all of those things. So there's this exception. And I also think sometimes things can become works of necessity because we're building our own kingdoms, and so we need to do these things so that we can build our own kingdom. So we need to just wrestle with our motivation. There's some things that are clear that we have to do and some things that we probably don't need to do. But anyways, those are just some principles, and this is what God is calling us to on this special day. And this is a special day, because do you know what we get to do on this day? We get to gather with God's people to worship God. This is what we were created for. There's nothing more important than worshiping God on the Lord's day. This is the greatest foretaste of what the new creation will be like as we are gathered together with the saints and we will be worshiping God for eternity. Or to say it in another way, fully devoting the Lord's day to God is an appetizer of the rest that is yet to come. You know, when you go to a restaurant and you order a nice juicy steak, and sometimes you order an appetizer, or sometimes they bring out like a salad or something, and when you get that appetizer or that salad, and when you eat that, the goal of eating that is to whet your appetite for that beautiful steak that is coming. Fully devoting the Lord's day to God is the appetizer. This is just an appetizer. And the rest that is yet to come is that beautiful, juicy steak. Beloved, the Bible talks about a rest that is yet to come. Read Hebrews 3 and 4. Remember that Sabbath rest under the Sabbath King is the goal of creation. Remember that eternal rest under our eternal King is the goal of salvation. We have a rest that is yet to come where there will be no more life in the trenches. There will be no more physical or emotional or spiritual exhaustion. We will be fully freed from everything that makes us tired. There will be no more bodily ailments, no more influenza or infections or joint pain or diabetes or cancer or death. There will be nothing that drains us emotionally. There will be no more relational strife or workplace drama or anger, or there will no longer be even tears. There will be nothing that exhausts us spiritually. There will be no more sin, no more lust or gossip or idolatry or lying or hard-heartedness. There will be no more Satan trying to tempt us and destroy us, no more of his crazy temptations or his lies. And not only will we be fully freed from everything that makes us tired, our souls will be satisfied as we will be in the presence of Christ Jesus. Our whole beings will be in a state of complete rest in the presence of Christ. Our whole beings will be in a place of complete peace in the presence of Christ. as we are gathered together with all of the saints, worshiping God for all of eternity. So yes, we have a rest that is yet to come, and I cannot wait. But while we wait, let us devote the Lord's Day to worshiping the Lord as an appetizer of that amazing rest that we have yet to come. While we wait for that rest, always remember, because God rules, we can rest. Amen? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you rule, that you are in control and that you are taking care of things, and that we can rest in you. God, I pray that your rule would be the pillow that we lay our head on at night, even in the midst of hardship, suffering, strife, sin, guilt. God, would we find rest for our souls in you? And I also pray that we, as a church, together, that we would set apart this day as special, that this would be a special day for us because we get to gather with your people and we get to worship you. And as we worship you, would we see that that is just a small appetizer, a small preview of the rest that is yet to come when we will get to be with you forever. God, this rhythm of working and resting, it's how we were created. And worshiping you is what we were created for. So would you help us to live that out for your glory and for our good? In Jesus' name, amen.